Last time it was about two words that God had spoken over us. It's two types of words, a prophetic word, and basically what that is, it's like a blessing that God gave us when he created us. And then we had the literal word, and that's the Bible. So we learned until the time of the prophetic word that God spoke over us came to pass, and that's basically our destiny. The literal word would test us to build character and to support the destiny that God has for our lives. So we see that words are very important. They are a force. Words are very important to us also, and we need to be wise when we use them. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 6, before Isaiah was commissioned to be a prophet, the first thing he did when he was in the presence of God, he said, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and among a people of unclean lips." So what happened was the angel grabbed a coal and he touched his lips. And he said, now you are clean. So you see in that stuff, everything starts with our mouth. You know, Proverbs is a book. It talks a lot about three things: money, morals, and our mouth. And James has a whole chapter about the tongue. And in fact, in Hebrews 4:12, I'll read it. It says that the word is a part of our Christian armor. And it says, "For the word of God is a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart." So we see that the word is very important. And in Genesis chapter 11, it also talked about the people being under one language, under one spoken word, and that God had to go down there and confuse that language, because he said, if we don't do it, there's nothing they could stop them. So he had to confuse their language, and that's what started again with words. And as we see in Pentecost, when Jesus told the disciples to meet there, what's the first thing they did? It was the changing of the tongue. The fiery tongues. So we see that words are very important. It starts with that. Let's get started. So let's read Proverbs 18:20. And it says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled." So about this verse, to some extent, your words depend on the quality of your life. That's what it's trying to say here. But let's read the next chapter down. No, the next verse down. It says, Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now, if that wasn't in the Bible, I probably wouldn't believe it. I would not believe words we speak are that important. Not only that verse, but throughout all the scriptures, you'll see that it's so important what comes out of our mouth. And when you think about it, everything that God created, he created through speaking. When you read Genesis 1, it says, when God said, you're never going to see, when God waved his hand or anything. God created by speaking. And we are created in his image, so there's something in that area about speaking that has a creative force for either life or death in our lives. But everything that is good, the devil will distort it. And this is what happened here. So this truth in scripture has been blown out of proportion. And you know, and here's an example. Let's say physical healing. You know, someone found in the Bible that God can heal our bodies, and maybe a person gets healed. And then this person begins to teach and preach on it, but then he starts to begin to take some heat for that, for what he's teaching. But out of a pure heart, He wants people to get healed. He wants people to experience what he did. And pretty soon, he starts to tell the fish story. And he does that to just drive home the point too strong, you know, that, oh, I caught a fish this big, but actually he tells everyone this one because he wants to drive home that point, you know. And that's what happens here. For the most part, this teaching is good, but that little bit causes you, when he starts exaggerating it, it tends to put doubt in you. And that's what happened with the truth about words. That's how the name it and claim it. We used to have that name it and claim it movement. Oh, you just claim anything and God will give it to you. You know, that's how it started. And because there is a truth in words that God will restore the quality of a life that is dependent on the words you speak. And let me say this statement here. I'm not saying that we're trying to get God in agreement with our words. I'm trying to say we need to get our words in agreement with God. And that's what makes the difference in the quality of our life. So God is saying in Proverbs 18:21, are you agreeing with life or are you agreeing with death? You are releasing by your words of your mouth life or death. So I put over here, number one, words connect us with God. Words are how God comes from the supernatural world where he lives, and he comes into the natural world where we live. And you might say, no, God sent his son, Jesus. He's the bridge and between us and God. Yes, that's true. And also another name for Jesus is the Word. So let's read John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is in your notes, but John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his Word and he healed him. There is a grand canyon between us and God. Well, there was, and it was called sin. And God sent his Word, Jesus, to expand across that canyon for us to get saved. God sent his Word to reach us, but we walk across the Word, or the bridge of confession of our Lord Jesus Christ, to get saved. So let's read Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you will see many times in the Bible that it will connect the mouth with the heart. So God reaches us with his Word. He sent his Word to make a connection with us. The Bible says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, we speak words that agree, and that's how we get saved. You know, it's so amazing how wonderful the words are. So number two, words also connect us with each other. Words not only connect us with God, but also with each other. So go back to Proverbs 18:21 in your notes, and let's read it again. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now let's read the next verse right down. What does it say? He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So I'm not trying to get you guys married here, but there's a reason for this. These two verses are together. And in my opinion, the Bible is perfect. God put every verse where he wants it to be. And the way we connect with people is through words. And when you think about it, anytime you had a disconnect from anybody, words was involved. You go back and look and see what that person said or see what you said, and more than likely, words are involved. If you want a good marriage, start with words that come out from your mouth. We might have a bad marriage because we're speaking death over our marriage, over our family, over our health, or even over our finances. You see, here's the problem. We don't have creative power. That's the error that's been taught with that 5%, you name it and claim it thing. You can't do that. You know, I tried it. I asked God, God, put a Harley Davidson in my bike. I claim it. I try it. It doesn't happen that way. You know, our words must agree with God's plan for our lives. And then maybe that Harley bike might be in the garage. It, you know, it's up to God. Only God can say, let there be light. So only he has the power to create that. But our enemy, the devil, wants you to agree with his ugly plans. And you might say, well, you know what? I don't agree with the, you know, what his plans. And deep in your heart, I know you don't. But what your mouth may not be declaring what you're actually saying. You see, the devil loves to hear people say, oh, my marriage will never work. I'll never get well. I'll always be in debt. My kids are driving me crazy. You know, I'll never get well. You know, I just can't get that job. You see, every word we speak is releasing life or death. You know, if you're sick, speak words of healing. If you're in trouble, speak his word for rescue. If you're discouraged, speak his words of encouragement. Once you understand the power of words and agree with your Father's plan in your life, the results you experience are some amazing fruit that God will create in your life. And the same goes for your marriage. Let's read Ephesians 5:25-26 in your notes. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So Jesus cleans and washes his bride with words. So let me ask you this question. Are you washing and cleansing your wives? And ladies, this is for you too. With your words softly and gently, are you washing them with words or are you sandblasting them? There's a big difference, you know. You know, but, you know, it's very important that what you say to every person, but more so your spouse, because it's God's plan that you don't be alone. And you know, so, you know, look at it this way. If there's one thing that your spouse does well, figure it out what it is. You know, what is it? And compliment that person and talk about it all the time. I mean, if it's getting up in the morning, if your spouse, just tell them, hey, you know what? You're the best getter up in the morning I've ever seen. And compliment on him. Tell him, man, 10 o'clock sharp, you're up. Yeah, you're the best getter up, right? And tell everyone that. I mean, I know it sounds like sarcasm, but and that's words too, but you know what? It's good to hear, you know, and you compliment that person. Find things. The important part is find things and compliment that person. Say nice things, you know. And here's 7 divine words to heal any relationship that we have. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Words connect us to God, and words connect us to each other. And this is exactly how we reconnect with God. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? The same vehicle you drove to move away from someone or from God is the same vehicle that you're going to drive back, and that's your mouth. In other words, you say something that blew up a bridge between you and another person. If you want to build that bridge back, you have to say something. It's never too late, as long as you're breathing, never too late to repair your relationship with God or with someone. So let's look at your notes again. It says Matthew 12:31. And this talks about the unpardonable sin. Now, I know a lot of people, they get all, you know, weird about this verse, and they say, you know what, they go up to Pastor Ben, you know what, I think I might have done this, Pastor Ben. But I just want you to rest assured, if you're in here, you didn't do it, because that means you would never have the Holy Spirit in you. Only because you don't have the Holy Spirit in you are you able to commit that unpardonable sin. And plus, if you're breathing, we always have hope. But what's important in this, and I want you to see in these next verses, is it's our words that cause that unpardonable sin. And it's very important. That's how much God looks at the words that we speak. And it's all through words where that unpardonable sin can happen. So let's read. It says, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Board of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So we see here the tree is the heart and the fruit is the mouth. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's changed your heart. And if your heart's been changed, then your mouth will also change. It takes a while for us to understand that, and we have to work on it, but prayerfully today, it'll help you. But I'm also going to read Matthew 12, 35 and 37. It's not in your notes, because I really want you guys to pay attention to this. Again, listen, because a lot of this stuff, Jesus holds this very important, because it's coming out of our mouth again. It says, "A man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So I have three truths about words. And the first one is words cost. Number one is words cost. Can I speak freely here for a moment? Can I speak freely? Okay, I know you guys said yes, but actually the answer is no. And according to those verses that we just read that I had you listen to, we never speak freely because our words cost. And I know in America we have the freedom of speech, and I agree with that, and I'm happy that we have that in America. People defend for that right here in America. But it doesn't mean that I can say anything I want and not give account to it to God. Words are not free. We have the freedom of speech, but our words are not free. Does it mean that I can say anything to my wife and have it not cost me? Does it mean that I can say anything to a coworker or a friend, a family member, or our neighbor, and not cost us in our relationships? That's what I'm trying to say here. Just because America gives me the right doesn't mean that I can say anything I want. A couple years ago when I rededicated my life to Christ, and we all do this, we all become a citizen of a higher kingdom. When America is long gone, there will still be heaven. When presidents come and go, Jesus is Lord forever, and I give an account to him for every idle word I say. America may say it's legal, but have you ever thought about this? In some places in Nevada, in their counties, prostitution is legal. But in God's eyes, is it right? Jesus isn't going to say, when you go up there, he goes, he's not going to say, oh, yeah, okay, don't worry. You were in Nevada. It's all right. It's all right. You were in Nevada. You see, there's a higher law than the American law. And that's what I'm trying to say here. Our words are not free. Our words cost. So let's read Psalms 141 verse 3 in your notes. It says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." Have you ever said, to yourself, oh, I shouldn't say this? And what do we normally do? We say it. We say it, right? And what do you say after you say it? Oh, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have said it. You see, there's two things that's happening right there. Either the Holy Spirit or common sense is telling you not to say it, and we do it anyway. So here's number two. Words hurt. Words hurt. Now, I'm going to say my age here. Some of you might know this, but it was a saying that we used to say when we used to get teased a lot when we were kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words hurt people. And here's the lie. The lie is words hurt, not unless you're kidding around. Words don't hurt, not unless you're joking around. They don't hurt you. But let's read Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. We do it all the time. Little jabs, little comments. We make stabs at people. You know, and what's our way out? We tell them, oh, you're too sensitive. I was only playing around. You know, one time at work, I don't work with these. We have two terminals where we work, so we went down to help them with the other one. But I knew of this one person that he likes to always say, well, you know, I did this experiment. Well, he doesn't say experiment. He goes, well, I tested it, and that theory doesn't. So we finally went down there and we worked, and we were working together, a whole bunch of us, about seven of us. We were trying to work with this water system to purify a tank. So we were doing that, and, you know, every time something wouldn't go wrong, I would make a stab or a comment. I'd say, well, you know, I did this experiment, and I found this, and then, you know, everybody would laugh. And then I kept on teasing. And we all knew what it was. I was saying this about this guy until the guy finally said, you know what? I had enough of this. And he got up and walked away. And I felt pretty bad. And what was my way out? I told him, yeah, that guy, he don't know how to play. He don't know how to play around. But you see, those things happen. And, you know, plus I was only joking about it. But what the Bible says right there, I wasn't. The Bible says, by out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, a lot of times with these jabs have some truth to them. You know, like the guy, he was saying, you know, he kept on saying that, oh, yeah, you know, I tested that theory. And that. So there's some truth of what he's saying. But what do we do then? You know, we tell that person, oh, you know what, when you confront that and you do that to them, then you say, you're only kidding, I didn't mean it. You know, can you imagine going before Jesus and saying something wrong, and Jesus says, why did you say that? And then you tell Jesus, oh, I was only kidding. And he goes, and Jesus says, are you kidding me? I wrote the Bible. You know, I'm the one that said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, think about it this way. You're walking by an orange tree, and you say to the orange tree, hey, those are some nice oranges. And the orange tree tells you, I'm an apple tree. I don't mean anything by these oranges. Listen, if you got oranges, you're an orange tree. You got oranges. But that's what we say when you don't mean anything by your word, but you do according to Jesus. So when something comes out of my mouth that's wrong, and it doesn't glorify God, you know, don't try to justify it. Don't say to God, what I say to God is, you know what, God, I didn't realize this is still in my heart, but apparently it is because it came out of my mouth. You know, so Lord, how do I deal with this? What do I do? You know, what is the root of this? Why I'm saying these things? You know, Jesus compared fruit to words on a tree, and trees have roots. So I'm trying to figure out what's the root of the tree that's growing in my life, what produces that kind of fruit, and what comes out of my mouth. The only way you can deal with bad words is to repent of it and ask for forgiveness. That's the only way. So this is Okay, I got practical application time for everyone. Hold out, put something in your hand, your purse, your wallet, or your phone, and just hold it out here for a moment as I want to talk about this. Don't put it down, just hold it out. If bad words are spoken to you, the only way you can deal with these is to forgive. You have to forgive that person. You know, we're dealing, are we dealing things in our life right now that because 20, 30, maybe 40 years ago, somebody said something? And until you forgive that person, those hurtful words are like bad fruit. And these fruit are attached to a tree, your heart. And that tree has roots. And until you forgive that person, those words will begin to bear bad fruit in your life. You know, we need to figure out what is in the root and go to the root. And what I want to say right here, this isn't, but this is what you're holding is unforgiveness. And I know I'm going on a rabbit trail, but I want to make a point here because it's very important about words. You know, we hold this unforgiveness starts to become a burden. It starts, in the beginning it was light, but as we hold it out, it starts getting heavy, unforgiveness. And right now it's starting to cause pain. But you know what? We don't think about it. We don't think about that. We're carrying this burden with us. You know, we can go before God and we can tell God, you know what, God, will you forgive me what I said? Will you forgive me about this unforgiveness I'm dealing with? And God will say, you know what? I forgive you. I'll forgive you of it. But you know what? You need to go get your healing now. Well, what do I have to do, Lord? You got to reconnect with that person. You got to go to that person. You know, because I know that God has forgiven me, but I need to go, Pastor Ben, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me?
Of course.
Okay. You see, he forgave me. And now God says, now the healing begins. God can heal now because he wants that connection with him and then he wants that connection with people. And it starts by saying, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And I know a lot of time is another application to this. You see, I know a lot of you were saying, oh, when is he going to get to the point already? This thing is getting heavy. It's starting to get heavy. Get to the point. But see, that's what unforgiveness does. It's a distraction. If you're holding unforgiveness in your hand, when your children say, can I have a great big hug? Sorry, I got this unforgiveness in my heart. I'm dealing with this right now. When somebody asks for your help, okay, what you're going to do, help them with what you're carrying around, this unforgiveness. Get rid of it. Go before God. He'll take care of it for you. He'll help you. Okay, back on track. So, you know, even the John the Baptist said about roots, he said, even now the axe is being laid to the root of the tree, which means Jesus is coming to deal with heart issues. So words cost. Words hurt, and the third things, words last. Let's read James 3, 5, and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on a fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Do you see what James says? The tongue can start a forest fire. You know why it can start a fire? Because there's already a forest there. There's already a bunch of trees there. You see, you say something to someone in a joking or kidding way, and you devastate that person. And that person, and then what happens? 10 other people do the same thing. And, you know, they say something about that. And And what happens is it creates a whole forest in that person of these devastating words. And then here you come along with just one word and you start the whole fire, because there's already a forest there. People are building up things that you had said in the past. And have you ever noticed that sometimes you may say something to somebody and they get really upset, and you say something like, gee, I can't believe it got that big. You know, I just said that and a person went off. What's going on there? It's because there is already a forest there, and all it needed was a spark by your words. So let's read the bottom line verse here. It says, it's in James 1:19. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. To speak, yes. Okay, so I put three words together and how we can be slow to speak. And that's the three on the bottom of the page. They're all P's. I put out so I can remember it, and you know, so I can always take notice of it. The first one is pause. The first thing you want to do before you speak is pause. So I once heard a good saying, and it goes this way. It's better to let people think you're a fool than open your mouth and leave no doubt. You see, words, our words can be used for good. But we need to learn how to bridle the tongue. When a horse is bridled for the first time, you know, it doesn't work all the way. No, and neither does the tongue. We need to pause. And the next, what do? We need to ponder. We need to think before we speak. So we need to pause. We need to ponder before we speak. Do you know why? Do you know that we think in two places? Yeah, we do. We think in our heads. But the Bible says we also think in our heart. Did you know that? Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And, you know, I seen this article once that this boy, he had a heart transplant. And the heart that he got was actually from an older man, and the older man, the other way around. This older man got a heart transplant. It was from a younger boy that loved rock and roll music. And the older man loved classical. But when he received the heart transplant, he started liking rock music. I know, and it's like, because it was in him. I know, it sounds like a nightmare maybe, but these things happen. And this young boy, he once got a heart transplant. And what happened was, it was from like a college professor that gave him, an older man in his 30s, and he got the heart transplant. And the boy started using these words that were never taught to him, these real high lecture, you know, words. And it was like, where did it come from? It's in the heart. We think with our heart. So if you can just pause, we can ponder. Just think about it in our hearts. You know, when we think in our hearts, then we can renew our minds. And, you know, and that's how we get saved. When we get saved, we all have new hearts. And then we can pray. We need to come before God every day, and not just reading the Bible, but also praying. We need his help every day. We need, before we go out into the world, wherever we go, we need God to touch our lips, you know, so we can go out and help others. You know, our words, so in conclusion, our words are gate openers. When you speak, you either open a gate of praise or for God to walk through, or you open a gate for the enemy to walk through. Whether you open the gate of praise for our Heavenly Father, he will show up and he will bring life for us more abundantly. When your words agree with God's words, our all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving God will speak life into every situation. As you begin to understand the power of your words, Carrie, and the power that is present in the words of praise, you will experience the results of that power. As your words agree with his words, life is created. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I needed to hear that message. I think we all needed to hear it. And we realize that our words really have the power to bring forth life or death. And we got to be very careful of our words because, you know, as a pastor, you know, I counsel a lot of people. And, you know, sometimes I hear people telling me, yeah, you know, I haven't talked to my brother or sister for 20 years, you know, because of what he or she said. Or, you know, it could be parents and children or friends, you know, I haven't talked for like 30, 40 years. And I ask him, so what was the reason? What happened? He says, well, that person said something to me that really hurt me. I said, well, what did he say? I don't remember. Wow. You don't remember. Couldn't be that bad then, right? But you realize, you know, our words can really affect our relationships. I mean, it can really bless or curse. And we realize if we're not careful, you know, like the scripture our brother shared with us, you know, we got to make sure there's that guard, you know, that's marching around our mouth, not allowing us to say things that will hurt others. And we realize because what our brother shared with us, it starts here. It's an abundance in our heart that we speak the words that will either bring forth life or destruction. And I got to share with you about this thing I read, you know. There's this Sunday school teacher, and, you know, she really wanted to bring home the point of the danger of our words. So one Sunday, she brought like 8 tubes of toothpaste. You know, there's 8 students in her class, and they range from like 8 to 10 years old. And so anyway, the teacher said, okay, well, class, I have something special for you to do today. And the kids saw the toothpaste on the table. What are we going to do? We're going to brush our teeth. He said, no, what we're going to do, we're going to have a contest. We're going to have a race. See, the first one that can remove all the toothpaste out of the tube, you're the one. You're the winner. So everyone's like all excited. So, but why are we doing this? And don't worry, just do it. Okay? So the teacher says, ready, set, go. And the students got the toothpaste and they started to squeeze it out. But the teacher said, just don't get it on everybody because I don't want your parents yelling at me. So they just started go, and you know, there's a technique, right? You gotta hold it like this and just one time. But anyway, some took longer than usual, but there was like a 3-way tie, you know, the ones that knew how to do it. Just hold it wham, like that, right? So you know, after everyone got their toothpaste out, everybody go, yeah, and then the 3 students say, yeah, I won. And the teacher said, wait, not yet. We're not finished. The race isn't over. Next thing to do is get all the toothpaste back into the tube. And they're looking at each other, what? Ready, set, go. And they tried, right? And they tried to stuff it in, you know, a small little puka, small little hole in that tube. They couldn't do it. And after like 10 seconds, we can't do this. We give up, right? And then the teacher said, I know you can't do it. It's hard. But here's the point. Our toothpaste is just like our words. When we speak it too quickly, like that scripture says, right? Squeeze it out. We just say whatever comes to our mind, whatever is in our heart. We just splatter it. And it makes a big mess, just like that toothpaste. When you go like that, you make a big mess. You try to get it back in, it's too late. You try to stuff it back in. Oh, come on. You got to go back in. No, it's not going to work. The damage has already been done. And that's why we have situations where people don't talk to each other for years. Why? Because we're too careless with our mouth. And I'll be honest, sometimes I do it too. And I go, oh, why did I say that, oh, Lord? And I realize when I'm in the Word, when I'm seeking God, when I'm praying, when I'm strong in my relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a less likelihood I'm going to say things that will hurt others. That's why it's so important every morning you read the Word of God. You get in the Word. And I got to tell you, there are times I miss, and sometimes I'm distracted, but I make it a point, you know. If I don't have a Bible, I'm just contemplating on scriptures in my head. And I say, Lord, speak to me. And if you do this, you're guarding your heart so that you're not going to let these words spew out of your mouths, you know, when when it just seems like, you know, you're not ready, you're not prepared, and you're saying things that are hurting others. And we realize we got to ask Jesus, we got to ask the Lord to put a guard, a strong, muscular, huge guard, you know, before us, guarding our mouths so that we will not say things that will destroy our relationships. Amen? And we realize only God, He can do it. He will help us. And so that we're not going to make this mess. We're going to make sure what we say, we're going to edify people. We're going to build each other up, not bring them down. We're going to build each other up because this is what the Word of God tells us to do. And we're going to do it. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken through our brother Carl. We know this message has truly touched our hearts. And I pray, Father, that we're truly going to take this serious. We're going to live according to your word. And we know, Father, we're going to make sure we're going to guard our mouths. We're going to say things that will only bring up each other. We'll speak in the truth. But, Father, we're not going to say things that will surely put each other down. No, this is not the way of God. And we know, Father, this will only destroy our relationships. And we ask you, Father, will you help us? Because we desperately need your help. We need for you, Lord, to give us strength, to give us wisdom so that we can live a life that is truly holy and pure. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize after listening to today's message, man, I realize sometimes I'm very careless with my words. And I know I've hurt a lot of people because I said things that I may have been just too careless. It just came out of my mouth and I realized, oh, it just got ahead of me. Or it may be that someone has spoken something to you and you're just hurting right now. And you're just wondering, man, I really loved that person at one time, but now I just can't forgive because of the words that were spoken. It just hurt. But you realize our God, He can heal. He can restore. And as you just let go, you let forgiveness in, you're not going to allow the devil to have his way in your mind and in your heart. Because only God, He can help you to forgive. He can help you to make sure that you're going to only speak words that bring forth life, not death. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, Pastor Ben, that's me. I want to just give my heart, my mind, my soul, my mouth. I want to just give it fully unto God. Because I don't want the devil to create any more destruction upon my relationships in my life. And if that's you, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. See your hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father, hand, I got my hand raised up too. Lord, I realize that I can be careless with my words too. For all of us here, Father, we're desperately seeking your help. Father, will you show us, Lord, how to live a life that's truly holy and pure unto you, that we're always going to be careful of what comes out of our mouths. And like my brother shared with us, sometimes we just got to pause and we got to pray and we got to realize it is only God that can help us to defeat the very fact that our tongue can get ahead of us, that we're not going to allow the tongue to speak death. We're only going to speak life. We're going to see to it that we're going to pause, we're going to ponder, and we're going to pray. And as we seek after you, we know, Lord, you're going to give us words that will bring forth life upon us, upon everyone around us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your Holy Spirit's presence just flow. Let it flow, Father. Oh, let it flow. Your Holy Spirit's presence, your sweet, loving presence. Let it flow upon my brothers and sisters, upon myself right now in Jesus' name. And as we are strengthened, we are renewed, Father. We know, Father, we're going to truly represent you well. Because the world will see us and they will tell us who we are according to what we say and what we do. Help us, Father. Fill us up, overflowing, Father, of your goodness, of your power, of your presence. So as we go out in the world, people truly know, hey, that person truly is a godly man or woman, because truly I experience God in him or her. Father, help us. We're calling out to you, Lord. Father, we need you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with his son, Jesus Christ. What must they do? How do I get started in something like this? What you can do is you start by praying this simple prayer. But it's not just the mere words that will get you saved. No, it's a crying out to God. It's from deep within your soul. You're saying, Lord, I need you. Please help me. And as you come with total humility, you go to God with a heart that is fully submitted to him. He's going to come in and he's going to work his power and his miracles in your life. And if you are ready, you're saying yes to Jesus from deep within your spirit, deep within your soul. You're crying out to him. You want to say yes to him. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Have your way in my heart, in my life. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Won't you repeat this prayer after me? Just mean it from your heart. If you raise your hand, just express it to God, because God, he's listening right now. And if you are serious, you mean business about giving your life to him, you just watch what God will do. He's going to bring forth blessings after blessings upon your life. Just repeat after me with this very prayer. Say, Father God, I need you, and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner, but your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Oh, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Father. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. I am property of Jesus Christ. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray.